You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Kevin Mutinoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. In about 15 minutes, she joins us every Thursday, Civic Media's meteorologist and multi-award winner, Brittany Merlot will be joining us around 10:20 to talk about the weather. We do have some severe weather coming into Wisconsin. Depending upon where you are, it's going to matter as far as when this is going to start affecting you. So Brittany Merlot will be here coming up in just a little bit after the 10:30 news. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Ratcliffe to talk all things sports. And we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Off the Top of My Head edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane Says at civicmedia.us.
Whenever we have Jim on, I feel like I need a good hour afterwards just to decompress, let all the information
burble
sink
around in.
Yeah, because it's just like we are lawyer adjacent. It takes a little longer for the osmosis to kick in, but my goodness.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yes.
And check out his show on Saturdays from 9 to 11, really. It's one of the reasons why I like having Jim here is because law is complicated.
Yes.
It is.
But he makes it so digestible.
Yeah, he really does. Great show. Amicus, a law review, Saturdays from 9 until 11. Wanted to spend a little time talking about this. Calvin, do we have that clip, please, that I asked you to find?
The plane.
It's the plane.
Oh, my gosh. It's here.
The plane. It's landing. Yeah, let's talk about the free plane, shall we?
I'm sorry, Jane. Can I get into crack my knuckles here? I need the air quotes to do the heavy lifting on free.
Free plane. Yes. This might be one of my favorite questions stemming from this jet that the government of Qatar wants to give Donald Trump. Right-wing commentator Ann Coulter.
Ugh.
Jumped into this discussion. Here's what Ann Coulter had to say about this jet from Qatar. Quote, "I can't wait for the press to find out about France's so-called gift of the Statue of Liberty, accepted in 1886 by then President Grover Cleveland," unquote.
How am I? Okay, you know, okay, Jane. All right. I'm just going to put something out here really quick. Why do I have to give them any sort of leeway, any respect, and treat them as any sort of equal of any sort when they say things like that? Why do I have to be like, hey, Greg, be the bigger person? When you say things like that, I don't have to respect you at all.
I think it's hilarious.
It is. I mean, Ben Shapiro said it once. He literally said these words: Ann Coulter is comedy for the right. He thinks she's hilarious. So maybe she's their Jon Stewart.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
This wasn't a serious question.
No.
I can't wait for the press to find out about France's so-called gift of the Statue of Liberty, accepted in 1886 by then President Grover Cleveland. If Grover Cleveland took the Statue of Liberty and put it in his backyard, you might have an argument.
If he said, like this statue belongs to me. This is Grover Cleveland's statue of a giant lady.
Yes.
Yes.
That's not what happened.
No.
No. It was a gift to the country.
Yeah.
And you can still see it.
And there is an argument to be made that the plane is a gift to the country. I will go as far as that. But let's go back to that phrase, Jane. Free plane.
Not free.
No.
Not free.
As we discussed, it's a plane. Does anyone here, I I can't tell you all the details. I watched one documentary once, so I'm an expert. What it takes to retrofit a plane to be secure enough to meet the standards of the Secret Service to carry the president around the world. They didn't throw in the plane and say parts and services included. It's going to cost.
Is there a warranty on this?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to cost upwards of $1 billion to do this.
And you know who would be on the hook for that?
Ann Coulter, me, you, Calvin, everyone who voted or didn't vote for Donald Trump, we're paying for that. And it takes a long time.
Yeah, they're actually saying now, some reports are estimating that if Donald Trump would accept this plane, first of all, the plane's 13 years old. This is not a brand new plane.
I'm going to look something up there.
Yeah, this is not a brand new plane. I saw one report this morning that essentially said this isn't nice enough for the Qatar royal family. That's why they're going to give it away, because they have better planes.
Well, the two Air Force One aircrafts, I'm looking at this right up there, they're modified Boeing 747s. They're around 35 years old. So we do have older planes flying the president. But like we said, retrofitted, secure, up to speed, going through all the processes. This plane, fine, but how long does that take?
Well, and there is the potential that, again, would this be accepted? It could take 3 to 4 years before the plane is in the shape it needs to be in order to transport the president of the United States. CNN this morning, making necessary changes to this plane is estimated to cost 3 times the value of the plane. In other words, for this free plane, American taxpayers could pay an additional $800 million. $800 million.
Where are you going to find that money?
I mean, well, the taxpayers will suck it up.
I mean, that's going to eat into your tax break for the rich.
And then the other thing that keeps coming out about this, and we mentioned this yesterday, our Attorney General, Pam Bondi, who was the Attorney General of Florida, who, by the way, dropped a case against Trump University committing fraud for people who signed up.
Yeah.
She dropped that case after Donald Trump made a donation to her political campaign. Yeah. But aside from that, Pam Bondi was working as a lobbyist for the country of Qatar. You know who else has ties to the country of Qatar?
Let me guess, people who work for Trump.
Trump's chief of staff, Susie Wiles, and FBI Director Kash Patel both served on Qatar's payroll.
There has to be natural resources or something, because Qatar, the last time we talked this much about Qatar was when they were hosting the World Cup. Before that, they weren't in the news. They weren't a player. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't Russia or China.
Well,
or,
if you go back to the first Trump administration,
yeah.
Under the first Trump administration, Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, needed money to bail out his big building in New York.
Oh, 666.
666.
Very weird name.
He needed a loan to bail him out for that building. They went to Qatar. Qatar refused. And then there was an embargo on Qatar.
That seems on brand.
Doesn't that seem, that make you go, And then somehow he got the money for that building. It's interesting how these things happen.
Interesting side story that I mentioned to you, Jane. Another story regarding gifts. Current Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth decided to gift the British Defense Minister, gave him a gift. That's not unusual. People give gifts all the time.
Right.
But
you don't get to keep them.
But the Ministry of Defense held the gift back. It was a statue of a cowboy and a framed photo. He gave it to his colleague, his
counterpart.
Thank you. And they held it back because it violated the ethics of accepting gifts of a certain value. Now, Jane, do you think that cowboy statue cost $800 million?
I'm assuming it was probably under $100.
No. Well, no. It was a little bit more expensive. Okay. It was $187. It was $145, 187 pounds. But that was enough for the British Ministry of Defense to say, cannot take this present.
Can't take it.
It looks nice. We appreciate it. Love cowboys. Love America. But sorry, that violates the ethics. But we are fine with taking a possibly $1 billion to the taxpayer plane.
It's a flying palace.
It's a flying...
Can't call it the right thing.
Does it have a gold toilet, Jane?
I'm sure it does.
Oh my gosh, this is...
That's what makes it so attractive to at least one person.
God.
What I find interesting, though, there are some Republicans who are actually coming out and saying, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
This looks really bad.
And yeah, well, don't worry. He'll look to Pam Bondi, who said, this is fine. There's nothing wrong with this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to just dismiss it, like, not even, like, think about, like, the implications. It's just, it's the question we ask almost all the time, which is, what is going to be the thing that pushes people over the edge? Is it going to be your family being affected by vaccines? Is it going to be, seeing the president take what is the biggest bribe possibly in this country? I don't know if there's a bigger one.
And it's just out in the open.
Yeah.
And it's like, just out there.
It's like just a little sunglasses fall down and says, deal with it. And just moving on. So I don't know. It's almost becoming a point where we're laughing at it to a point because it is kind of funny. It's like, oh, a free plane. Yeah, cool. Cool deal.
You know, this texture just came in. You know your Trump derangement syndrome is out of control when your big story is the POTUS given a $400 million free aircraft. You're right. That's not a big story. Happens all the time.
No, that's not called international bribery.
Happens all the time. Nothing to see here. Even other Republicans are stepping up and saying, this looks really bad. Probably shouldn't do this.
Didn't you tell me a story yesterday of the right losing their mind over a necklace that Hillary Clinton was given? I believe you told me that. She was given a necklace. It cost almost $500. They did not accept it. And they lost their minds. But I'm not allowed to question or at least be a little perturbed by the fact that it's a $400 million plane, but it will cost nearly $1 billion. So I guess, Texter, that's fine. We'll just charge you a little bit extra on the taxes because you're fine with it. We can't give you a free plane ride, but you can have your very own look when it comes to town. We'll let you look at it.
Abs, you can look and you can wave at it.
You can wave
too.
At it.
It'll be so nice.
Gosh. Give it a small wave, everybody.
Again, just go with Ann Coulter. I can't wait for the press to find out about France's so-called gift of the Statue of Liberty, accepted in 1886 by then President Grover Cleveland. Yeah, Grover took it with him when he left the White House. So
yeah, it's on his back lawn.
It's on his porch.
He was also another one of those non-consecutive presidents. So that's all. It's all part of the plan.
Perfectly
Jane.
Normal. Nothing to see. When we return, we have weather coming our way. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's meteorologist, is going to join us for a little weather and wine. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Galatini on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us no matter where you're listening. Say WISS in Oshkosh.
Mm-hmm. Hello, WISS in Oshkosh.
WLAK in Amory.
Amory.
WCQM in Park Falls, which is near Butternut.
Butternut. I need to come up with an Amory-like butternut announcement.
We'll work on it.
Butternut.
Oh, I kind of like that.
That's weird.
You can always join us, is the point. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you would like to be plugged into what is going on around the state of Wisconsin, say perhaps award-winning reporting by one Brittany Merlot, all you have to do is subscribe to the Civic Media newscast.
There you go.
Super easy. Subscribe to the Civic Media newsletter. You can do it today. Go to civicmedia.us/email, and it will come right to your email box, and you'll be all up to speed and all up to date, and you'll know what Brittany Merlot is reporting on. Civic Media meteorologist here for a little weather and wine. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am pretty good, I guess, considering today's weather forecast. I'm trying to hang in there, but we've got a lot going on.
Yeah, there's severe weather coming our way. I'm assuming it's going to start out west first.
Yep, you're right. It's going to start northwest, probably right around 3 o'clock. It really wants to spark up in areas towards Minneapolis, Eau Claire, and then it rapidly intensifies, swinging in towards Madison, the Dells, Stevens Point, Wausau, Hayward by 5 o'clock this evening.
Oh.
And then moving into the Fox Valley, Rhinelander, Ashland, even Milwaukee area by 6 o'clock tonight. And then I think it could still be hanging around the lakeshore, probably more north towards Door County and northeast Wisconsin, around 7. And it's going to pack a punch, that's for sure.
Well, and what a lovely time to hit. It's going to be hitting at least around Milwaukee, right around rush hour. So keep that in mind. Maybe you can slip out a little early today, just in case. Are we expecting tornadoes? There's always the potential, I would assume, for tornadoes.
Yeah, so actually we're at a pretty big risk for tornadoes, and it kind of really goes from Eau Claire through the Wausau area down through like the Dells, and it swings over to the Milwaukee area too. So we're actually looking at what they've got it. They've got this little area kind of in a hatched thing, and that means a 10% chance of a strong tornado, EF2 or higher or stronger, within 25 miles of you.
Ooh.
Oh, geez.
So that's a pretty big chance.
That is a big chance. Well, and I think sometimes we associate severe weather only with tornadoes. Severe thunderstorms can cause an immense amount of damage.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when they line out like this one's going to do, where the biggest line kind of is, and kind of at the top of the line and the bottom of the line are the strongest winds and biggest tornado potential. And we could see winds in this line 75, 80,
whoa,
85 miles per hour. So it's, yeah, as that kind of grows and moves in towards the lakeshore, it could definitely do some widespread scattered damage from these just winds. Not even a tornado warning, just winds. And the hail, too, the hail risk is pretty large. I mean, we're talking about ping pong ball size hail, maybe to like the size of eggs or so. That can shatter windows. So stay away from windows. And if you're driving, try to get to a gas station, get one of those, you know, those hangers that are there.
Yep.
Try to protect yourself, because if that windshield shatters in, it could hurt you. And
what a
scary
nightmare.
Stuff in the wrong time. I hate that this is happening during the time we're trying to get home from school
and get home from work,
things like that.
Yeah.
It's best to then keep some attention to your phone for weather updates, or keep that radio on to make sure you're getting all those updates. Rob from Tigerton actually said people with Cellcom phone service, the phones and SMS texting is down. Don't know when service is back up and running, especially with severe weather coming. He has Cellcom. So if you have Cellcom, you might not be getting those notifications on your phone. I know I get some when it's getting really severe. So just like I said, maybe keep yourself close to a radio, keep yourself close to a service that will get you all the weather updates so you can stay safe.
And Brittany, we've talked about this before, but I mean, you are very serious when you ask people to have a plan, or at least have a place in your basement if you have to seek shelter, right? You want to have a little place somewhere in the basement away from a window where you have a radio, where you have a battery operated radio, maybe a flashlight. Take your dog's thunder shirt because you're probably going to need it.
Wear my dog's thunder shirt?
You can wear your dog's thunder shirt, too, if you need that, if that's what works for you.
And one thing that people always forget, and you're going to need if the worst case scenario unfolds, is sturdy shoes. Put those big, strong shoes on, because if you walk out to destruction or damage, that is the one thing you're really going to need. So don't forget about that, too, with your emergency kit, and throw that in your shelter. And I hate talking about this.
No,
I
hope, you need to.
But nothing happens.
Of course.
I hope all us meteorologists are wrong, but we have to be ready just in case, because we are in the bullseye.
Hey, knowledge is power. I'm sorry. Yeah,
I would rather someone take the precaution, get prepared, and not need it rather than not be prepared. I mean, that's the interesting thing. I think tornadoes, go to the basement. But also have sturdy shoes, because if you're walking through that stuff,
Broken glass.
Yeah. So those are the little things. Yes. No, please warn us. This is why you are the award-winning Brittany Merlot. Multi-award-winning Brittany Merlot.
Three.
Thank you.
She got three.
Five.
I don't care.
Five.
I just have so much passion.
Five. Yeah, you do.
Well, you do. And I think one of the things we need to do as the summer goes on is we should share pictures about our prep areas and our basements, because I bet Brittany's is the nicest.
Oh.
No, I've got a complicated situation, to be honest with you. I'm on the upper floor. I don't have a lower level to get to. And I also don't have a shelter in town, a community shelter
to.
So your meteorologist is at risk. Yeah.
You want to come over to our place?
I might.
Go to the station. They have a basement.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much, my friends. Stay safe.
You too. Thank you.
News is coming up next when we come back. All things sports with Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Ratcliffe. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. Morning, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got Brewers action tomorrow night. Our broadcast starts at 6:35 as the Brewers host the Twins. You can listen to the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WBZH in Hayward, and WCQM in Park Falls. The crew hosting the Twins tomorrow night. Our broadcast starts at 6:35. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Ratcliffe is here. Good morning, J.R.
Hello, everybody.
The big news this morning is the Packers schedule is out.
It's out.
It's out.
It's out. Now, if you...
Now I can plan my wedding.
Yeah, yes, right? Let's go. Make your hotel reservations. Everything's on the table for you. If you live in Milwaukee, it's tough. Week two and week five, but the second home game and the fifth home game always go to the Milwaukee fans, the gold package. Mm-hmm. We've got a Thursday night game against the Washington Commanders there, that second game. And then the fifth game is a Monday night football game. So there will be no weekend games for the Milwaukee fans. They will be traveling on weeknights and bleary eyed coming back on Highway 43 or 41 back.
Yeah.
Home. So not good for those in Milwaukee potentially, but I mean, they are two very good games. I think is the Monday night game Eagles? I'm getting them all confused already. Just haven't even been able to process the whole thing. They do get a home game to start the year. First game of the year is a home game. That has not been the case since Matt LaFleur has been coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Wow.
For whatever reason, they've just been since 2018 was the last time. That's the it was Packers Bears. This is the game where Aaron Rodgers got hurt in the first half and came back in the second half and led a miracle comeback. But they have not hosted the opening week game since then. So that's kind of cool. Not only do they get that, but they get two home games right out of the gate, although the second one is only 4 days later as part of this Thursday night package with Washington. So they play again on Thanksgiving. They open the year against the Lions, which is pretty cool. They play again on Thanksgiving. against the Lions. So that's a third year in a row that they're playing on that particular holiday. I really thought they were going to get a game on Christmas. That is not what happened. So there's at least you do get that holiday free if you are a fan of football who does not want to sacrifice your holidays. Otherwise there weren't too many surprises or head scratchers or not going overseas or anything like that this year. There was some thought that they would end up in Ireland to face Pittsburgh. That's not happening.
Oh, that'd be fun.
But yeah, it'll still. And if Pittsburgh gets Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be fun no matter where they play it. It's going to be a night game at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh. I'm guessing there'll be a fair number of fans that would love to see that in person, whether or not they have to travel to do so.
We don't have to talk about it a lot, but you honestly said the name, and I hadn't thought about him in a long time. But is Aaron Rodgers heading there, or is he just kind of sitting there waiting for someone? Like, what is his status?
There is no conventional wisdom around a man to which conventional wisdom does not apply. Or wisdom in some cases.
Oh, my God.
Of any variety. No one really knows. I think Pittsburgh is like the logical landing point. There isn't really another spot. It's going to be Pittsburgh, if it's anything. Now, he could retire. He could go, you know.
Away.
On a mountaintop somewhere.
Go away.
Like trying to predict is difficult. Pittsburgh, I think, is hopeful that's going to work out because they don't have a lot of options in the quarterback room. Or, I mean, I shouldn't say that they have options. It just nothing is very inspiring. I don't know if this Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career is even that massive of an upgrade for them, but they are a team that has a lot of really good players and a really compelling case to make the playoffs yet again, as they did this past year. But they need a quarterback. So we'll see how that goes. I think if he goes anywhere, it's going to be Pittsburgh. And so that's October 26th. Circle your calendar, because that would, of course, be the first time Aaron Rodgers faces off with his old team, if that's exactly what happens.
I'm not a football expert. I am not a sports guru. But I would think that maybe Pittsburgh is better to say, instead of picking up a quarterback with issues on and off the field and not a lot of performance in the past few years, just go new and find a young guy to shape and mold into your organization, and at least you have the reins on them somewhat. I mean, they can be wild cards. They can all be wild cards. They're professional athletes. But I feel like, do you want to wade your boat into the waters of Aaron Rodgers and what potentially could come?
I would say the one thing that works in Pittsburgh's favor is that their head coach is Mike Tomlin, who is considered, you know, one of the most respected coaches in the league. Mm-hmm. He's been to Super Bowls. He's won, you know, championships. He is if anybody can rein a guy in like Aaron Rodgers, it's a guy whose success, you know, has been alongside Rodgers or predates him to some degree. Like he's probably the right guy to deal with the temperament or the sideshow that is Aaron Rodgers if he comes to town. So I think it would be okay. I think, you know, the guys they have aren't very inspiring. I don't know if there isn't an obvious answer for Pittsburgh. Like they needed a better quarterback than what they ultimately landed with. But we will see. It's still up in the air. It's still a beautiful mystery.
Calvin.
Yeah. I mean, if I were the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would be forgetting about Aaron Rodgers and I would be doing whatever I could to get the Atlanta Falcons on the phone and trade for Kirk Cousins.
Sure.
Like you said, there's not really many options. It feels like that's the only one other than Rodgers, and I don't know if it's worth the headache.
The headache, I think, there is, and I don't know this. I don't know what Pittsburgh's salary cap situation is, but Cousins is very expensive, and that would hurt both. You know, presumably hurt the Steelers, but also the Falcons, who then have a lot of dead money on their hands. It just might not make sense financially. The Falcons may not even be able to make that financially tenable. Still makes me wonder why in the world they would sign a guy when they had every intention of drafting a guy right on top of him who's also an older prospect and probably needs to play right away in Michael Penix Jr. I have no idea what the Falcons were thinking. No one knows what they were thinking. But I don't know financially if that could work. It logically makes sense. Yeah, I think that would be a great fit. But it's just a question of how they could pull it off.
J.R. Radcliffe, Journal Sentinel sports guru, is here to talk all things sports. And we're talking about the Packers schedule that was just announced. I have to say, I am so happy that the first couple of games are in Green Bay. There can't be a better place to watch football in the fall than in Green Bay, when it's a beautiful October
crisp
day. You know, it's perfect.
Not even crisp. I mean, like, that's still shorts weather. September 9th. Let's go.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. It's way better than, January.
Yes.
Or December. I've gone to those games. And you're like, Lambeau Field's historic, but, you know, I love feeling my feet.
I I'm completely with you. I mean, I am I'm an outdoor ninny. I'm not going to go outside if I don't have to in the freezing cold. And I've been to games in the freezing cold, multiple games. And good for people who think that's worth doing, that that's like a bucket list item. I mean, okay, bucket list item, but like, that's not an enjoyable experience, you know? And fans have kind of come under siege lately for not being loud enough, not being engaged enough. I think as franchises go that have this sustained level of success where, you know, it's, we've seen this with the Brewers even, it's hard to convince fans to keep coming back and be raucous when, yeah, we've seen regular season success, whatever. Wake us when we get to the postseason.
Right.
Yeah, the Packers, right. I think, are better off. Well, I mean, they've got, because it's so hard to get a ticket, you've got people who are really excited to be there. But, you know, when you've got mittens and you're all decked out in your blaze orange, you know, that you can't be that loud because you, I mean, you've had drinks, presumably, so, like, you are in a good spirit, but, like, it's hard to maintain your level of, like, enthusiasm, and it's also hard to be heard when you're clapping with mittens on, so I've always felt like it's better served for them to have the games on the earlier end.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, there will always be some games in the freezing cold. They do close the year indoors with the Minnesota Vikings. It's always a divisional opponent. I could see that being a really big game, as is the case every year when they close with a divisional opponent. I do think the Vikings are interesting. I think they're probably at the Packers level, and they probably will be competing for a spot. It is a difficult schedule for everybody in the division. So winning the division is going to be a big deal.
Calvin?
Yeah, I mean, I think how good the Vikings are going to be is a little bit up in the air right now for me, because I'm not totally sure what their quarterback situation is going to look like.
JJ McCarthy, but who knows what he brings to the table.
And Chicago, I mean, you listen to Bears fans, they had the best offseason every single year, so who knows. The Lions are certainly going to be some fierce competition.
The Bears have the Pope, so I don't know what you're going to do with that.
It's tough. Yeah,
it's tough. Things are going to go their way. That Hail Mary that went to the Commanders and helped the Commanders get into the postseason last year, that's going to happen in reverse this year. It's not going to happen quite that way because they got the Catholic Jesus on their side. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
That's going to be tough going up against that. Yeah. J.R. Radcliffe is here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel with the time that we have left. Let's talk about the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And Pete Rose, and is the Rose family, have they been lobbying for this for decades and decades, or is Donald Trump the only one who wants Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, you know, not as much even the fan. It's just Pete Rose himself was pretty unrepentant about everything toward, even at the very end. You know, he died not that long ago and was always very critical of the process that kept him out of the Hall of Fame. He was on the ineligible list, which permanently banned him from baseball, many, many baseball institutions, but the one that anyone cares about is the Baseball Hall of Fame. And so he committed the sin that kind of had been seen for a long time as the number one thing that you do not do in baseball, and that is bet on baseball. He's a manager at that point in his career, but still, like, that is just, if you're employed by a Major League Baseball team, that was always seen as the sin, the number one thing. Never mind that he had many other things about him that I would say morally make him a very complicated, would be the kindest thing you could say about him. He's a difficult man who had some pretty awful stuff going on. And Rob Manfred basically said, look, all these guys are dead. They don't, we're not punishing them anymore because they're gone. And there are unsavory characters in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if Rob Manfred said this, but like, there are people who are bad dudes who are in the Hall of Fame. You know, Cap Anson was a huge proponent of maintaining the color barrier. Ty Cobb is the obvious one. Gaylord Perry is a much more colorful character, but like totally openly cheated. He scuffed the ball. That was like part of his thing. That's what made him great, was his spitballs and things like that. Yeah. David Ortiz was alleged to have used performance enhancing drugs, but that's a very complicated, unclear thing, much like what Barry Bonds is going through. And it isn't a guarantee that Pete Rose gets in here. I think the next couple years are interesting. The Veterans Committee isn't going to meet again until the end of 2027. So Pete Rose will not be in the Hall of Fame next year or the year after. So there have to be voters who decide he's an inarguable case now that this has been lifted, because the character clause has been invoked over and over again to keep the guy who's got the most home runs in baseball history in Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame, the guy who's got more Cy Youngs than anyone in history, Roger Clemens, out of the Hall of Fame. And some of that is also inferred. It's not, you know, there isn't documented evidence that those guys use performance enhancing drugs. I don't think that, like, I wouldn't try to convince anybody the contrary, but, you know, everything is subjective. And voters are going to have to say, yes, he has more hits than anyone in baseball history. Yes, he would normally have a slam dunk case on paper, but yes, he was also a really bad dude. And he also did that thing that got him banned in the first place. So I don't know what happens next. I don't know for sure that he makes it. I don't know if then that opens the door for Clemens and Bonds and many others. It's a really interesting next couple of years, yeah. I think, because Pete Rose is such a big domino who could affect so many other players.
I think it's actually not so much that he did the thing. It's that he was caught. Because yeah. You can't tell me people before him and after.
And that was going to be my question, too.
So, yeah.
If he's the only one, or he's just the only one who got caught.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys had sorted histories, too, and that were known at the time. And it was all about, like, when they were voted in and what voters cared about then. Like, there's such a wide swath. Yeah. It's such a complicated issue. It's so interesting.
Follow his reporting in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, J.R. Radcliffe. Thank you so much, J.R. We'll see you in a couple. Coming
Sounds
up,
good. See you then.
We will wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing off the top of my head edition. Stay here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jay Matt and Air, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow, it's Friday. So Civic Media's, it is Friday tomorrow. So Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi award-winning recombobulation area, Dan Schaefer, will be here with us for the entire second hour. So I hope you can join us for that. I'm sure we'll talk about the case of Judge Dugan, which is ongoing and will continue to be. And then also Tammy Baldwin and, oh, something I really want to talk about tomorrow that we didn't have time to today. President Trump was praising Wisconsin's own Sean Duffy during his overseas trip this morning. Might not necessarily be giving him credit for what you think he would give him credit for, but you want to join us tomorrow so we can give you a little update on that.
Dan just also dropped an article on the recombobulation area about 23 Wisconsin state legislators to watch in the coming year or so during the time
with the different maps.
So we most likely be covered that as well too, because you know the maps changing and the last election was pretty big for Democrats here in Wisconsin, and they want to take that momentum and keep pushing further and further. So
join us tomorrow, Dan Schaefer, here in hour number two. Right now, Calvin, 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
This is the off the top of my head edition. Headline reads, circus performer hangs by her hair for over 25 minutes to take decade old record. Vicky Newman with the byline from the GuinnessWorldRecords.com.
.com.
A circus performer with seriously strong locks has broken a hair hanging record that went unchallenged for more than a decade. There are photos.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Of her doing yoga poses, hanging by her hair. In the Redwood National State Parks in California, Lila Noon spent 25 minutes, 11 seconds hanging by her ponytail to claim the record for the longest time suspended by hair. I'm sorry. The American took on the challenge in June of 2024, breaking the previous record of 23 minutes, 19 seconds that had been set by some person's name that I cannot pronounce in 2011.
Steve.
We'll call him Steve. Lila trained for 2 years.
What?
The 39-year-old trained for 2 years before attempting to break the record. She's also a professional hair hanger.
I hate this
I'm just reading
what
it says.
I'm blaming the world.
She's a professional hair hanger, so definitely don't try this at home. Lila said she wanted to prove what people can do with the power of their mind. More like the power of your hair. To put on the incredible show of strength while friends kept her entertained by playing guitar music.
Oh my God.
A crowd also kept her spirits up by showering her with positive affirmations. She did strike a series of poses while hanging by her hair. Those who practice this art often have their own special and unique method for doing so. Whatever Lila's tactics are, they did the trick. The performer has thousands of followers on social media, often shares stunning imagery and videos of herself doing different stunts, including shooting a bow and arrow with her feet, and lots of hair hanging.
So some of you might be like, why is this on This Shouldn't Be a Thing? It's because me saying the following. This doesn't feel impressive. Like, if you're going to hang by your hair and you train for 2 years, I'm on like an hour, 2 hours. I know my hair ain't worth it. I'm fine with that. And I'm being the jerk right now. But all of this. Also, if trees can communicate with each other, which I really feel like they can. Yeah. Do you think the California redwoods are like, this is what we're here for? No,
really? We lived for all these years, yeah. And this is our big claim to fame.
Just feels so.
I don't know. I took a self-defense course once, and one of the things they tell you is if you grab someone by the hair, they will follow wherever you go.
Oh, I understand. I know, and I don't disagree that probably, especially towards the 20, because it was for 29 minutes. It should have been nearly 30 minutes. Over 25 minutes seems weird, but I assume it hurt. I'm sure there was pain.
Yes.
But also, I guess the big question is, with a lot of world records, is why?
Well, that would
Por qué?
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We're just not good competitors, Greg. I think that's what it is.
Right now, I'm announcing that in 15 years, I'm going to let my hair grow out even more, and I will hang from a small birch tree in my backyard.
That you can touch the ground. I think that's fair.
Yes.
Okay.
For 31 minutes flat.
Nice. All right, we'll look forward to that. And news, which is coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn 4 to 6, and Pete Schwaber wrapping it up with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Watch out for the weather today, too. Keep up on that.
Yes.
Stay here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.